brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
I think, like I said, this is a marathon, so I'm not in a rush. I'm going to take it week by week.
You know, in the end, whether it's in a game or whether it's at a Monday practice, you still have to outwork whoever you're going to play.
And you have all of this success. What is it? What is the secret sauce? Go ahead and spill. What's the secret sauce that has had Buford be the success that it is? Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here, weekly edition. John here, Hannah there. And Hannah is back this week. Obviously, our priorities for you, young lady, your family, making sure that you are at 120% health as you are
in the
final stretch.
Well, the holiday messed us up. The holiday messed us up. My girls are only in school 3 days a week. Couldn't find childcare. Y'all know.
This week, we once again get to promote a gigantic game on GPB, and we get to catch up with an old friend.
I am so sad I'm not on the sidelines this fall. Nobody wants to see this. We're just too pregnant. But your game last week, I wasn't as sad because of the 2.5 hour lightning delay.
Yeah.
I was watching it and I was like, man, if I was out there, that'd be so miserable. But you did great, John.
Yeah.
You did great.
All right. So
what a game. Carter'sville at Wineman Stadium.
Full disclosure. Go ahead and give the final score. Give the final score.
I don't even think I wrote the final score down.
So much for that idea.
What was the final score? It came down to the wire.
35.
I was relying on you to give me the score.
It was tied at 35. Carter'sville had a lead in second.
It came down to the last 17 seconds, right?
Right. And so Carter'sville had a big lead third quarter. They were up by 3 scores. Calhoun comes back. They score. They go onside kick. Recover the onside kick. Score. Then they tie it at 35 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Then a 26-yard field goal with under a minute to go, and that was the game winner, 38-35 awesome. On Football Fridays.
What a game to start off with.
Well, the thing is, you're talking about a 2.5 hour delay. So let's pull back the curtain here a little bit. So we have our web game, which was Walton and Norcross. And so we had that one as well. And Jesse Jung and Cody Chapins were doing yeoman duty over there as eventually it would be, who had it? Walton beat Norcross 24-21. So in years past, when we've had rain delays, we would go and the broadcast on GPB would cut away to the web game. And then that would buy us some time. Mm-hmm. And then we'd wait for our game to get healthy and then we would take over. At, I want to say, 7:15, that was still the plan, where, okay, Walton and Norcross are taking over. We're starting there.
So y'all have been on the air for 45 minutes?
Well, no. 7:15. No, so at 7:15,
oh, okay.
We're about to go on the air.
7:15.
We're about
got
to go
it,
on the
it,
air at 7:15. At 7:30, we're going on the air. 7:15, we're thinking, okay, it's raining here, and, you know, we're in a monsoon and in the middle of all of the thunderstorms, so we're going to go to the web game.
Okay.
We get word the web game is in a weather delay. So that means that the responsibility is back on us to start the night off. And so we literally, we have like an elongated pregame show. We're talking to everybody. We're doing all of the lineups and the stars and everything. And then we had to, with them in a weather delay and us in a weather delay, we had to come back here to GPB for programming for a little bit. The web game came back up first, and so we go to the web game. The web game first half happened. 2 hours and 18 minutes later, our game is ready to go. So the web game goes to the half. We pick up their halftime show, and that turned into our pregame again to do the game, and I think we ended it like 10 to 1.
I don't know if we can promise that much excitement this Friday. Or not?
I mean, but you've got number 7 in the world, Buford hosting Douglas County. It's going to be a great game. Mm-hmm. Our first trip to the Beard, and I'm going to see how much.
I'm so jealous.
$62 million high school stadium on display for the entire planet on GPV this week.
You guys are going to have a great night.
And our web game, Sprayberry at Sequoia, battle of 2 4-0s. 4-0. Like Poets Laureate, maybe? I don't know. Mothers-in-law? 4-0. So that'll be the web game this week, but we've got some really cool guests this week. Two of them are our coaches this week, with Johnny White from Douglas County and Brian Appling from Buford, but our third one was a long time coming.
Yes, it was. We talked to him 4 years ago at Hart County.
Yep.
That's Raven County's new head coach, Rance Gillespie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a homecoming for him. That was a fun interview.
Yep. And so that is the show this week, and we'll find out about wins and losses across the board and games to watch coming up here in just a little bit. So without any further ado, let's kick things off. The visiting coach going to the Beard this Friday night on Football Fridays in Georgia, Douglas County's Johnny White.
Hey, Coach White, you are in your 10th season there with the Tigers, 3-1, tough loss to Hughes, but you already have wins from North Gwinnett, Jonesboro, and Newton. How would you assess your season so far?
So far, so good. Very tough schedule, including the upcoming game on Friday, but we knew that. The head coach at Douglas County was crazy for picking the schedule, but I wanted to be battle-tested, so I wanted to play the best, so we've done that. We've got a lot of young guys that have gotten a lot of good reps that are starting to get acclimated to the speed of the game. So the bottom line is, regardless of what happens, I got four region games to decide where I'm going to be in the playoffs. So, you know, the bottom line is I want to be ready in November to be the best team Douglas County can be.
How hard is it, because you only have those four region games, East Coweta, Westlake, Chapel Hill, and then the decision days with Carrollton. How difficult is it to come up with non-region games with a schedule where you've got to come up with six?
Well, it was even harder for us, because when the regions first came out, we were in an 18 region. So we were only looking at possibly having to find three non-region games. But three of the teams appealed and were granted by GSSA to leave the region. So we went from trying to find three games to trying to find six. So we called everybody. I called everybody possible. And a lot of times it was just they didn't want to play. Sometimes it was scheduling conflicts. But, I mean, we got who we got. So we're going to make the most out of this situation.
Over the last decade with Douglas County, what are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned? How are you different as a coach now than when you first started there?
That's a great question. I think I'm less hands-on. I think there's a lot more trust in all of my assistants. And not saying I didn't trust the original one, because I had some great coaches on that first staff. But right, you know, with the transition in 10 years, there's only three guys left that have been here with me the entire time. So there's been some movement. But trust, I'm still big on relationships. I love my relationship with my student athletes and with my kids. So I tell them all the time, me and my wife have a daughter that we love, but I've never had a son, so they're all of my children. So I look at it like that. But I don't think there's anything too much different from the way I coach now to when I first got here.
Then what about dealing with the student athlete? How has that changed in the last decade?
Oh, that's changed dramatically. You know, I think everybody's all about clicks and likes, unfortunately. And it's just so much with the social media thing that's going on. Sometimes it becomes very frustrating, I'm gonna be honest with you. But I mean, sometimes it helps. I mean, it's another way to promote your kids as well. So you got to take the good with the bad of it. But I'm happy with where this program is. I'm happy that it's in a great place. And we're just going to keep going forward and see how we can finish off this season.
Let's talk about some of those players. Wide receiver Aaron Gregory had a big night on Friday, 11 receptions for 210 yards and a score against the Panthers. He's a four-star committed to Texas A&M. Who makes your team go around this year?
We like to get Zamarcus Lindley a little bit more involved. That's big for us. We've had to make some changes on the offensive line. We had a three-year starter who was a college recruited kid that after the second game, unfortunately, mom got a new job, so he moved out of state. So we had to do some changing up front, which now we should have been starting four seniors with one junior, with all of them come back from last year, with the four juniors all starting for 3 years. Four seniors all starting for 3 years. So now with Joshua Vaughn gone, we had to move a young guy in the lineup who we think is going to be a big major D1 recruit by the name of Terrence Brandon. He's just a sophomore. He's 6'5", 310. So putting them in place and getting them more acclimated to the speed of Friday nights is really going to help us. I think, like I said, this is a marathon, so I'm not in a rush. I'm going to take it week by week, and I just want to get better. I want to play good talent. I want my kids to face some adversity as well, which we faced on Friday night against Langston, which we did an unbelievable job trying to come back. We just couldn't finish the deal. Coach Hines is doing a great job with that Langston team.
I was going to ask, I mean, you were down 22 early second half, and I know that we were all kind of looking at the score and kind of shocked at the difference in it. What did you learn about this team having to come back the way that it did down 22, getting close, eventually losing, but did you learn a lot about, I guess, the insides of your student-athletes last Friday night?
I learned that they got some fight in them. I think they learned that they're going to accomplish more when they fight together. And I think that's going to be very important. I think some young men sometimes have the Superman complex and want to put everything on their back. But this is a great, I mean, that's why I think football is the greatest team game in the world. You can't do it by yourself. You got to lean on your teammates. And I think we're going to be ready for it. I think we're going to get better. We're going to get better each day and each week. We're going to get better today, actually.
Well, your next challenge will be Buford this Friday on GPB. What is your game plan for them? What's the message to the team this week?
A prayer. we're going to pray anyway. But no, it's a very hard-nosed, disciplined football team. And then you get to play in an environment that you've never played in before. You know, I think that's going to be big. I think our kids, some of them, I got to get their eyes out of the stands and out of all the bells and whistles of the new stadium and still understand, I don't care. Even in the bins, guess what? The field is 100 yards, really 120 yards if you count the end zone. So we just got to play football. We got to do what we do best, and we got to make sure that we start off fast. That's a very good football team. I mean, they're ranked in the country for a reason, and they're ranked higher in the state for a reason. So if we want to show some people that we're back or that we're ready, then we gotta come to play football.
And along those lines, I know that you mentioned that you've got a lot of talented folks there that make things hum for you at Douglas County. Is there somebody, this is the make that kid an offer question, is there somebody flying below the radar that's done really well in the first four, that has done well for you in the program, that isn't getting the looks you think they deserve, isn't getting any looks at all? Who would fit in that make that kid an offer category for you that we need to keep an eye on Friday night as well?
I think it's two guys for us. I think it's Stephen Jones. Started at linebacker for us last year, was all region. Started as a sophomore, but he actually started at fullback for us. Student of the game, makes all of our checks, does an unbelievable job. The next guy's got a couple of offers, but I really think he's the heart and soul of our defensive line along with Jordan Carter, and that's Solomon Fabian. 6'2", 250 defensive end, very athletic, very quick, plays very well. I think both of those two kids could make a football program a very happy. Like, I think if you get them, you'll come back to Douglas County and get somebody else, because you'll be very pleased on not only how they handle themselves in football, but how they handle themselves in the classroom and outside, and how they'll be a great representative of your school, of your college and university.
And we are looking forward to seeing you on Friday night. Half of the equation for Douglas County and Buford at the Beard. Coach, it's always great to see you. Great friend of GPB. Thanks for hanging out with us here this week on the podcast. And we will see you Friday night for Douglas County and Buford here on GPB.
Thank you for having me. God is always good, but thanks for having me.
One coach down, two to go. But it's one to go when it comes to the matchup on Football Fridays. Time to get the home side perspective. And we catch up with Brian Appling, the head coach of the Buford Bulls.
Hey, Coach App, you've got Douglas County on Friday. We just got off with Coach White. He says, hey, and to please be nice
to
him.
He's like, say hi and be nice.
On Friday.
Can you be nice to me?
Yeah, right. Me and Johnny go way back. I know what time it is. Them boys are turned up and yeah, they'll be ready to go.
Tell me your best story with them. What's a good story since you guys go way back?
I guess the funny story is mine and his conversation COVID year. I think we played in like the second round or the first round or something like that. And, you know, it was just a funny conversation about all the ins and outs of COVID, you know, coaching, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was crazy because like we lived the same life for a long time. Like obviously counties apart and everything like that. But some of the conversations I probably can't say on this that we talked about. But
oh, come on.
In the end, it was kind of cool just to sit there and talk to him about 40 minutes before the game. But it was just a crazy year.
When you look at Douglas County as a program and what Johnny has built there in a decade, what sticks out to you about them as a program? We could be talking on the field, off the field, but what sticks out to you about what he's built there at Douglas County?
You know, just a program. You said it, man. He's put together a program that's one to be proud of, the kids, the community, and the coaching staff and the school. You know, they do it in a great way. They're disciplined. They play hard. They got some pride about themselves, and that shows on the field. You know, we're still dealing with high school kids. Everything isn't perfect all the time on either side of the ball or either side of situations and stuff like that. But it's a fight nowadays. But he's doing a great job fighting that battle with those kids over there, and you know, in the community, just building it up to where they can have some sort of pride about the place.
You're creeping up on 10 years at Buford too. You're in your seventh season with the Wolves. 3-0 this year over Milton, Benedictine, Roswell last week. How would you grade the season so far?
It's been pretty good. I mean, if I give it a grade, I'm still thinking, you know, B-, B average or something. Just because it's not that the kids are doing bad; they're doing great. They're working hard. They're trying to, you know, do it exactly right. They just, you know, from situations of, you know, new stadium, learning that process. You know, we've had the last two games, and knock on wood, it should be clear this week. So hopefully it stays that way of long lightning
delays. Yeah, I know about that.
It's been a wild year as far as that. And we were down in Savannah when the first one happened. It was about, you know, 2 hours. We didn't start until 9:40, and then we had another delay. And then we had to drive back 5 hours after that. So, you know, handling all those situations wasn't perfect from the, you know, coaches and the kids and the program, which is, you know, you can't really prepare for all that stuff. You've never done it before. I would say right around there, just because of, you know, trying to get through those early hiccups and learning your new team. You got a bunch of experience coming back, but on paper you look like you lost a bunch of starters, so it's still going to be different. But a lot of these kids that are playing and doing good things for us played already, just were backups and rotators last year.
And you mentioned that when it comes to everyone getting reps last year, they may not have been a starter, but they were getting reps, and now they're into those starting roles this season. What's it like for you and the staff to see those guys step into those holes where folks on the outside are sitting there going, well, they graduated 720 seniors, and they're going to have all these holes, and then you have everybody just kind of step in. What's it like to see those guys just step in and be those next guys as a part of this process? What's it like for you guys to see that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a point of pride because we've done it the same way for a long time. When I first got here, we were double A, and we rotated a lot of kids and played a bunch of kids. Because, you know, when you got a roster of, you know, 60 kids, it thins out really fast. You get a couple injuries. So we always would play kids early and get them reps as a freshman, sophomore, junior, even though they weren't possibly the starter because, you know, injury happens and, you know, they got to go in. You got to be ready if it's a playoff game. So now we just keep it the same way because we want our sophomores to get a certain amount of plays if they're going to, you know, have a chance to start the next year. Same thing with juniors and freshmen. We want them to get to a certain number of plays throughout the season so we can look back in the offseason and look at what they did and watch it with them and say, hey, man, you know, they might, on paper, you might be a first-year starter, but you play just as much ball as a lot of other people out there. So, just proud of the guys, the way they've, you know, taken that role on and produced. They obviously, we got a lot of growing that we can do, which is a good thing. You know, I feel like we let some things out there the last couple of games, but hopefully we'll just continue that process because we're not supposed to be playing at a, you know, at the ultimate level, even this Friday coming up. We want to play good and we want to play better, but you know, it's a long season. We want to have a slow, you know, crescendo up to the end of the season versus just starting out really fast and just falling off at the end.
Let's talk about some of your playmakers. UGA commit Tyreek Green had a huge night on Friday. And quarterback Dayton Raiola also is 15 of 23 passes, 209 yards, 4 scores. He's committed to Nebraska to join his brother. Talk about some of your big playmakers and what they've meant to the team so far.
You know, those two especially, and you know, you got a bunch of other seniors that I'm proud of and the way they handle themselves each and every day, the way they practice. But their leadership and love for the game has been the biggest deal. I think our team is very close this year, and that's because of the seniors. They're trying to find a way to, you know, do it differently, a little bit differently, because I thought last year's seniors were great about this as well. But just put their own stamp on it and keep the team close. They're all ate up with ball. You know, they want to be here. You know, that's a difficult thing nowadays with all the distractions these kids have nowadays. With the phone and, you know, social media and all the, you know, other stuff, it just, and recruiting and all that stuff, it's just, it's hard to keep them focused. And these kids love what they do. And it's you know, a point of pride to them that they play football. They play football at Buford. And, you know, they'll worry about the other stuff later on, basically. But those two especially, they love this place, and they want to work. They want to outwork their opponent every day. They want to outwork their teammates and bring their teammates along with them every day.
4 coaches in the last 31 seasons at Buford. When you think about what Buford has done in the time that you've been there, and you said that you were there since double A, and so it's double A, triple A, quad, 5, 6, 7, and now back to 6. What has it been like to see Buford continue as a program to adjust to the times and adjust to the increase in classifications to where you're having all this success? Because the last time Buford did not have a double-digit win season was 1998, and you have all of this success. What is it? What is the secret sauce? Go ahead and spill. What's the secret sauce that has had Buford be the success that it is?
His name is Coach. His name is Coach App.
Yes.
Nowhere near that guy. in the end, it's I think it's the place and the people. They set us up really well to be successful. I mean, it's pressure in every job. You know what I mean? And that's understandable. You don't really want to do a job like this unless there is some pressure because you got a chance to do something special. But in the end, this place breeds success from the arts program to the academic program to the athletic field. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing within the city, outside of the school system. They want everything to be exactly right. So I think just that culture and that mentality through everything we do here in Buford, Georgia, there's a point of pride of that we do it different. And then doesn't matter the situation, doesn't matter the change. You have to keep adapting as you go and just grow with the process, grow with what's going on. And continue to produce. So I think it's just the old school mentality of the people here, you know what I mean? And they want it to be right, even though we, you know, have changed a lot. We got a lot more kids in school than when I first started here. We got a, you know, bigger stadium, you know.
Yes.
Arena, all those different things. The school is, you know, six. It's our 7th year in this school. That's huge and it's nice and everything, but it doesn't matter. You can put up the prettiest brick and mortar, you know, Coliseum or whatever you want to, but if the people that fill it up aren't about the right stuff and aren't about hard work, it's going to look pretty, but it's not going to be full very much.
Yeah, Buford definitely takes pride to the next level with the new stadium. Is it living up to the hype? Are you guys settling in? How do you feel about the stadium now that you've had a couple games there?
Yeah, it's starting to feel like home. It's, you know, it was cool, you know, in the beginning. Still is cool now. It's a great atmosphere. It gives you a Saturday afternoon type atmosphere with the scoreboard and music and just the, you know, ins and outs of locker room and technology and all that type of stuff. But you know, it's a special place and a special situation. But like I said, it's starting to feel like home. You know what I mean? I had like 2 or 3 notes and I hope will be the last notes I have to take after a Friday night game and say, hey, we need to make sure this is right. Or that we change this or this process here. But it's taken us a couple times in there. Like we practiced in there twice before the season started. We had a inter-squad scrimmage the week before Langston Hughes, and we had Langston Hughes. We've had, you know, with 2 regular seasons games in there so far. So, It's a great atmosphere. It's really big, obviously, but you think it's going to be a lot more room on the sideline. It feels like a, you know, one of those. I'm talking about the different fields that I played on or coached on here. since I got here. Like Charlton County back in the day, it was a small sideline, but it was a great atmosphere. Elbert County, you know, Granite Bowl was just, the sideline's tight, but that type of atmosphere gives you a different feel on a Friday night versus the big track around it. Mm-hmm. So it's cool in all those aspects.
Ranked number 7 in the country, depending on which poll people look at. And I know that people get wrapped up into those kinds of numbers even when before the season starts. The season's over, give a couple days off. People sit there and they look at the new rankings, the too soon rankings for next year. How do you keep the players from looking at that kind of stuff? Or do you have to kind of embrace it a little bit? Yes, we're getting all of this recognition and everything. How do you embrace the idea of having the national ranking there, you know, clattering around the high school?
I think that's one way we've changed in the last, you know, couple years that, you know, you can't keep them away from it. You can't keep them from looking at it, seeing it. It pops up on Instagram all the time. It's going to happen, you know, and you have to embrace it to an extent, but also make it to where it's not the main thing that's in their mind all the time, you know. You know, we talk about things probably now that we didn't talk about years ago, but it's just because it's so media heavy nowadays and it's always in their hand. You got to bring it up and talk it through and just say, hey, here's your perspective on this. You can't let it get out in front of the preparation to represent this program, represent yourself on a Friday night. But our kids understand and they know it, but they know that, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, just because you're ranked high and everybody thinks a lot of you, you're your toughest opponent. So don't beat yourself, you know, in the end, whether it's in a game or whether it's at a Monday practice. You still have to outwork whoever you're going to play and prepare in a way to represent yourself as that, you know, as that type of program.
And as always, Coach App, it's great to catch up with you on game weeks. We know that your time is at a premium, especially with all the demands that the program has. We can't thank you enough for letting us come and visit you up at the Beard this upcoming Friday night. Thanks for the preview. And we will tell Johnny that you did say something nice.
That's true. He'll probably text me in a little while.
No doubt. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us here on the podcast. We'll see you later on this week.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you guys.
Once again, thanks to Coach White and to Coach Appling getting us ready for Football Fridays here on GPB. Final interview this week. We kind of like to step away from our matchup a little bit and go and chase after the really cool stories that have happened early part of the season. And the story in Tiger is no different. Who was it that said you can't go home again? I think Rance Gillespie has gone home. The new head coach at Raven County. It's a family affair for them up there. Legacy, the whole deal. We get into it. We catch up with the new Raven County head coach, Rance Gillespie.
Hey, Coach, it's your first season with the Wildcats. Welcome back to the GHSA. You're 3-0 with wins over White County, Fannin County, Dalton. What brought you back home?
Oh, just, you know, I grew up here. My wife and I both graduated from Raven County in 1987. So it's been a while. We went to school and decided to get into coaching. And I really haven't been north of Macon, except for my stop in Hart County and one other time. But it's, you know, at that point in my career that I've had an opportunity to come home, and I just couldn't pass that up.
Now, and we were going over the whole story about you and Raven County and your legacy. Your dad was there. There was a line that we needed to have confirmed, that you sure. and your wife actually were neighbors growing up.
That's absolutely the truth. I guess, and if you can, we weren't like next door neighbors, but certainly in walking distance of one another. And I really didn't know her that well until I don't know, maybe the eighth grade. And her maiden name was Giles, and of course my name is Gillespie, so they kind of set us side by side. And we've been together ever since.
Alphabetical and yes. Homeroom.
Love that.
I know all
that's
about
so exactly sweet. Right.
I know all about those things. When you go back home, and I know that with everything there, that Raven is a very, very special place for you and your family with all of the history and everything. What has been the biggest adjustment for you being a head coach back home?
I've been very passionate about every place that I've ever been, and every place has been special in its own way to me. And I've certainly put everything that I've had into all my stops. But you know, when you come back home, it's just a little different. It just is. It brings about a different emotion. Touches you in a little bit different way, and brings a special importance. So it's certainly different to be home.
So with your wife's maiden name as Giles, mm-hmm. does your player read Giles? Giles? Giles have any relation?
Yeah, actually they do. It's not, I don't know that it's real close, but yes. And, so his dad, and I played together. His dad was a ninth grader when I my senior year. His dad was a really good player here as well. All of those things are unique that you're coaching guys that that their dads played with you in high school. And I've even got one that his granddad, and he was a little bit older than me, thank goodness. But his granddad was around when I was in school.
And this is why you go home. And this is why we love small towns. Well, Reed showed out, scored the tie-breaking run. He had 7 receptions for 204 yards, rushed for 111 yards on 12 carries for 3 more scores, and returned to kickoff for 99 yards. I mean, lights out.
Is that all?
Your quarterback, Ty Truelove, also amazing last name. He was 15 of 27 passing for almost 1 yard shy of 300 and a score. So we know they're outstanding. Tell us about some of your other playmakers and let us get to know your team a little bit better.
Yeah, those two guys are really special. And, Reed's got a broad skill set. He can do a lot of things, and certainly we're using him in a lot of different ways. He starts for us in the secondary as well, and just a great player. He's explosive, has good ball skills, and I'm really really excited about, what he's doing and the way he's playing so far. And Ty is another guy that's a really good player. And, the thing with Ty is he brings a social maturity that's pretty unique in kids his age, and he's very serious about his preparation, and he works extremely hard, and I think he absolutely deserves to be playing at the level that he's playing at. He's playing at a high level for us right now, but he's worked to put himself and prepare himself to be able to play at that level. So, those two guys are special guys for us. We've got another running back that kind of splits the load with Reed. That his name is Lake Evans, and Lake rushed for over 100 yards as well this past week. And it's another guy that plays both ways for us. So we've got a class of 11 seniors. Our starting center, Zach Gordon, is in that class. Reed, Lake, Ty. We've got a defensive lineman, Ethan Hopper, that's a good player that's in that class. And I'm not going to go all the way down the list because I'll leave somebody out at my age,
right?
But we've got a good senior class, and really excited about those guys.
And I know that, as far as I know, your style of play hasn't changed. It's fast, physical, a lot of yards, a lot of points. You want to make sure that everybody remembers when they played, in this case now, Rabun County. You're 3 games in, getting ready for this game against Bremen, another tough non-region opponent.
Yes.
Where is your bell curve right now? Where's your expectation versus output? Where are you right now compared to where you want to be right now?
Yeah, well, I don't think any coach would sit here and say that we're exactly where we want to be, and certainly I'm not going to say that either. But we've played well for this point and where we're at, and I mean, to kind of get to where we want to be offensively, it takes some time, and first year in, the kids have worked at it, and we. we do a lot offensively, and people that play us know that. And it's no big secret. So, but it takes some time to master the offense. I think we're kind of where we would expect to be, which is not exactly where we want to be. And hopefully, we'll continue to get better as the year goes along.
For someone who has never been to a home game of Rabun County, they've never been up to Snyder, mm-hmm. how would you break down what that experience is on a Friday night?
It's pretty special. It's a gorgeous place to just stand out there and see. Just as that sun's setting over those mountains, there's nothing quite like it.
And sometimes, I mean, honestly, there are a lot of folks that go to a lot of different places, and there are still bucket list places that they need to go. And I would say catching a home game up there at Rabun. I've been in the stadium, but I've never been for a game day. So I know what it means to a certain degree,
yeah,
not having
people. People pay a lot of money for that view.
Yes,
and then you got some pretty good football going on the field as well.
So then, my last question, and thanks for hanging out and giving the education about what's going on up there at Rabun. You were mentioning some of your seniors, and this is the Matt Stewart make that kid an offer question. Is there anyone there on the roster that you think isn't getting the looks they deserve or isn't getting any looks at all that you think would represent really well playing college football next year? Who would be a make that kid an offer for you? Does anybody qualify?
Yeah, we've got a handful of those kids. And, that's kind of a soapbox topic for me and the direction that college football is headed, and with the portal and with NIL and some of those things. And I'm not a fan of some of that. I remember, heck, as early as 5 or 6 years ago, that you could kind of predict where a kid would go, and now it's almost impossible. I mean, and Reed has some offers, but I think he's a big time player. I really do, and Ty's the same way, and we've got a handful of other players that absolutely 110% deserve an opportunity to prove themselves at the next level. And whoever steps out and does that is going to get, a great kid that's going to be hard-nosed. It's going to be an asset to your program, and they're going to get a hell of a football player.
As always, my friend, it's great to see you. It's been entirely too long since you've been a part of the show, but it's great to see you. Great to have you back up there, back home at Rabun. And we know that you're really going to make everybody proud. Thanks for dropping by on the show. We're keeping an eye on you up there in Class A D1. Great start at 3-0. Thanks for dropping by, Rance. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Hey, week 4 was a good one. Happy 60th to Rock Mart. According mm-hmm. to the GHSF Daily, mm-hmm. Rock Mart won their 60th consecutive region game last week.
Crazy.
38-32 overtime win over Ringgold. That is awesome. That's a very long region winning streak.
Well, but Calhoun has the longest.
Oh,
and
what is it?
119.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had 19 straight seasons with mm-hmm. region wins, 119 in a row. That's the number. So, by the way, so Rockmart, you're only halfway there.
I know. Could you imagine?
Halfway there. And so now they have to put Biff Parson, everybody is focused on the second half of chasing after Calhoun. So you're halfway there, you get another 60, you're at 120, and you're the new track record. So what else is on your mind from the week?
Oh, Lassiter broke their best start
mm-hmm.
in a decade.
Uh-huh.
They were 3-0.
Uh-huh.
They were the game of the week. They were
according to Hannah, they were the game
videos.
Of the week.
Not according to me. Who had them as game of the week? I forgot to look that up right before we came on.
Always Hannah's game of the
there
week.
There was videos. There was hype. There was highlights.
Was it one of the local TV stations here?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Oh, then it was probably our friends.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. That's
what we're here for.
Yes. The high five.
They're always in your face, and they were in Lassiter's face last week.
Yes, and we.
And then they lost. Finally lost. So to they're not welcome back.
So we were never doing that again.
No. So now it's time to take the tour and find out how everyone else did.
Yep.
And it was kind of a downer week. I think we had a lot of losses. We talked about our game. You lost 48-30 to Creekview. King James's Central Macon got shut out by East Lawrence. Commander Sandy's Decatur Bulldogs lost to Stevenson. And I think the rest of us had the week off. So Marky Mark had the week off. I think Ambassador Jeremy had the week off.
I did, but since I had the week off, I congratulate one of my former high school coaches?
Sure.
On a big win?
What did Coach Atha do?
Yeah, Coach Atha at Cedartown beat Pepperell. See, when I went to Darlington and
riveting.
Rome. Yeah, when I went to Darlington and Rome, I lived in Lyndale. So I all my friends
home
went
of the
to
West
Pepperell.
Point Pepperell plant.
Yes. And so he beat Cedartown beat Pepperell in a last-minute interception as Pepperell was trying to run a two-point conversion. They won by one, so go Bulldogs in Cedartown.
28-27, the final score there. Lakeside DeKalb had the week off. Since President Reagan is not here, we do not have an update on Topsail High in North Carolina.
We don't have a name for Will.
Yeah, we do.
What's his name?
It's Goodwill Hunting.
Oh, okay, I forgot. When did we come up with that?
About 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Because this is Will.
I just pretended like we knew.
Yeah, well, this is Will's first appearance.
Yes.
So Goodwill Hunting is on
Will
the other side
in
of the glass.
For King James.
Yes. And so Goodwill Hunting. Now, first and foremost, sir, you've got to spell the name of your high school in Virginia. See, Will is another out-of-stater. So you have to spell. And by the way, when you told me the nickname for this team, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to get the gear. So spell. So the high school is named?
Pocosin High School.
Please spell Pocosin.
Yeah, so it's a Powhatan word, which means Great Marsh. And it is spelled P-O-Q-U-O-S-O-N.
Pocosin.
Or as our rivals would say.
I was definitely missing the Q.
Yeah.
Or as our rivals would say, it means big mosquito.
Okay.
Oh, the state bird of Minnesota. Yeah. The Pocosin Bull Islanders. This is the Pocosin Bull Islanders, legitimately?
That's right. It was a farming community to start, and it was nicknamed Bull Island.
They're on the coast.
Okay. So sometimes we go by the Bulls, sometimes we go by the Islanders, and if you're getting real fancy, it's the Bull Islanders.
Oh, I've got to get the gear. That sounds fantastic. And then, so you're 2-0 or 2-1?
That's right, 2-0.
Okay.
They, I believe, started with a big win over York High School.
Okay.
If you're familiar with the Battle of Yorktown, it's over that way. And in the second week, they beat those folks from New Kent High School.
Those pesky New Kenters.
That's right.
Yes.
I believe they're the Trojans.
Okay. So and you've got Chris Slade's alma mater this week, right?
That's right. Tab High School is an old school rivalry against the Battle of Yorktown Road.
Ooh.
Sounds riveting.
The Battle of York. No, the Battle of Yorktown Road.
Can't wait to watch that one.
Well, but when Goodwill Hunting comes back, he gives us a schedule update this way. I'm guessing that's going to be next week. And so then we have There Goes Tokyo, Mark Chilla. He's a Chattahoochee. You're a Chattahoochee Cougar. This is correct?
That's correct. Chattahoochee Cougars. Go Cougars.
And so how did they do, Hannah?
2-1. Also a bye week.
Okay.
But on the 29th, they won 28-26 against Discovery, but bye week.
Okay. So you conquered the bye week, Mark Chilla.
Excellent. I'm very proud of my Cougars.
Do they have a game this week?
I meant 1-2, not 2-2.
Losses. Oh, no.
Still proud of them. Still proud.
Two losses.
Wow.
With the win on August 29th.
Hannah, do you want to turn your computer around so you can get the number correct?
No, it's okay. I was looking at 2-1, like two red L's to one green W. So that's how I came up with that.
I see how this works. So do they have a game this week?
Yes, they play at Centennial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
Crosstown rivalry.
Yes.
That'll be a little tough one.
And so that's the rundown of everybody here. And so we've added Mark, okay. There Goes Tokyo, Mark Chilla. and Goodwill Hunting to the mix, along with President Reagan and everybody else.
You write all those names down.
I've got them right here.
Great.
So once again, this week, really cool stuff. It's going to be our first trip to the Beard for Douglas County and for Buford. And then we have the under-the-radar matchup of Sprayberry and Sequoia. Sprayberry at Sequoia, 4-0 and 4-0. Really looking forward to that one. GPB, GPB.org, the GPB Sports app, your multi-screen experience all season long.
Sounds incredible.
Yes, it does, because it is incredible.
It's all incredible.
How are you, by the way?
Tired. Mm-hmm. But we've got more podcasts in us, John. I'm mm-hmm. sad I'm missing Friday nights. I'll be watching from my couch.
You see how this works.
And just jealous I'm not out there on a Friday night under the lights.
Sure you are. Okay, so that is it for another go-round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Hannah will be watching along with the rest of you. For everybody on both sides of the glass, I'm just John. Thanks for dropping by, as always, for the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy your games. We'll be catching up with you next week.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.